From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled, Our Father, Christian's Intimate Relationship with God, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Solace, Security, Satisfaction. The text is found in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 5. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. This is not so much one promise as an aggregate of promises, a box of pearls. The covenant is the ark which contains all things. These are the last words of David, but they may be mine today. Here is a sigh. Things are not with me and mine as I could wish. There are trials, cares, and sins. These make the pillow hard. Here is a solace. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Jehovah has pledged himself to me and sealed the compact with the blood of Jesus. I am bound to my God and my God to me. This brings into prominence a security, since this covenant is everlasting, well-ordered, and sure. There is nothing to fear from the lapse of time, the failure of some forgotten point, or the natural uncertainty of things. The covenant is a rocky foundation to build on for life or for death. David feels satisfaction. He wants no more for salvation or delectation. He is delivered, and he is delighted. The covenant is all a man can desire. O my soul, turn thou this day to thy Lord Jesus, whom the great Lord has given to be a covenant to the people. Take him to be thine all in all. In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to focus on the opening words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. This speaks of the believer's relationship to God. As Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing, not everyone is a child of God in this spiritual sense, for as Christ made clear, the children of God are those who have come to Christ for salvation. Now to conclude this message entitled, Our Father, Christians' intimate relationship with God. Here is Dr. Cairns.
Thank God there is such a thing as a Christian home. And I believe Christian parents may and should plead the promises of God and labor within them to see their children saved. But if they think they're saved because they're born in a Christian home, they're fools. Not saved, you're not a child of God because you're a child of godly parents. People use these terms so loosely that they tell you it's tragically possible to be in what you think is a Christian country, born in a Christian home, sitting every Sabbath day, raised through Sunday school, young people's work and church in a Christian church, and perish in the outer darkness of a lost eternity. Why? Because there's only one way to have God as your Father. Only one. Only one way to enter in to the intimacy and the reality of this relationship with God. And that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you can really begin to pray with honesty, "Our Father, I stand in the most intimate possible relationship with God." When we pray, "Our Father," we are therefore saying, "Lord, we are thine by redemption. Yes, we are God's creatures, but we were rebellious creatures, lost creatures, sinful creatures, creatures excluded from the glory of thy presence and the joy of knowing thee, children of the devil in every spiritual and moral sense, but now we have been redeemed by precious blood, set free by sovereign grace. We are thine by redemption. We stand reconciled unto thee by the cross of Jesus Christ, and we approach thy throne clothed in the merits of thine own dear Son. Thou art our Father. We are thy children. Thou hast begotten us." As Peter tells us, he has begotten us again to a living hope. As James tells us, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." Thou hast brought us to a new birth. Thou hast made us new creatures. Thou hast indeed, as 2 Peter 1:4 tells us, made us partakers of the divine nature. I'm going to make a confession to you. I really don't know what those words mean. I'm afraid, to be quite honest, even to try to describe what they mean, in case in my folly and stupidity I say that which would be unworthy of God. All I can say is, here is something, and I have read what the commentators say on it and all the rest of it, but they're as ignorant as I am on this matter. What does it mean to be a partaker of the divine nature? What does it mean? It means vastly more than I can ever say. It does not mean I become God. I become some way part of God, that some sort of crazy pantheistic notion. That's not the meaning. But there is a communication from God to me and to every other believer in Jesus Christ. A communication of grace, of virtue, of that which transforms our very inmost being. I have preached 1,000 times in this pulpit on the legal aspects of salvation, how that God justifies us once and for all perfectly by imputing to us the absolutely perfect righteousness of Christ. That is our legal standing before God, and that is the heart of the gospel. But you know, the Bible also teaches that God does a moral work within us on the basis of that first work. And that moral work is, he conforms us to the image of Christ. And how he does it? He makes us partakers of the divine nature. Marvelous statement. When I come to God, I'm not coming as an alien being. When I cry, "Our Father," I'm crying, "Lord, I'm a creature, but I'm redeemed, I'm reconciled to God, I'm begotten again to a living hope, born again of the Holy Spirit, I'm made a partaker of the divine nature, and bearing thy name." I'm always amused by the American fetish, and it has to be called that, of finding out the history of a family name. But there is one family name that matters most of all. And there's not one member with this family name ever kept out of heaven. That's the name that I want. Daniel tells us very clearly in chapter 9, verse 19, thy people are called by thy name. That's it. Thy people are called by thy name. When we cry, Abba, Father, or Our Father, we are saying, Lord, we are thine not only by creation, but by redemption. We are born again. We are admitted into the family of God. We bear your name upon us. That's the testimony. It's why, you know, I said when Jesus taught us this prayer, he gave it as a pattern for all our praying, but he also gave it as a prayer to pray. I have been seeing for many years. I have prayed through, I suppose, all or most of the great prayers of the Bible. And that time and again. But I never, never, never can get beyond the Lord's Prayer. And alone with God many and many and many a time, I stop at this. Our Father. Our Father. What a testimony. If that's your testimony today, if God is your Father, then rejoice. Let all hell array its hatred and its fury against you. You will be in heaven. And God will keep you safe along the way until he gets you there. If you can honestly testify, thou art my Father, I am thy child, then you can say in the words of the old hymn, it is well. It is well with my soul. What a testimony this is. We're looking to God when we say, Our Father, and we're saying, Father, thou hast saved us. What a testimony. Think of what that's saying. Job, in chapter 17, verse 14, said these words, I have said to corruption, thou art my father. To the worm, thou art my mother and my sister. The great Puritan Thomas Manton commented on that verse, we are cousins to worms, a handful of enlivened dust. That puts the pride of man in its place, you know. Well, I have an IQ of 432. Well, so what? You're still a cousin to a worm. But I've made $1 million. You're still a handful of enlivened dust. That's all. Don't get proud of things. You know, there's not the thing in the world to be proud about. Just a cousin to worms. Yet we can say, Our Father. And I want to tell you how it comes about. We're just worms of the dust. Fear not thou what? Thou worm, Jacob. How did a worm become one of the sons of God? Listen to me very carefully. For what I say is not my idea, it's what the Bible says. A worm becomes one of the sons of God because the Son of God made himself a worm. Psalm 22, the awful lamentation of Christ on the cross. I am a worm and no man. How does a worm become one of the sons of God? By the Son of God, the second person of the eternal Trinity, coming down into this world via a virgin's womb to become a man, and then to sink to the depths of human ignominy and shame, bearing all the sins and all the guilt and all the wickedness and all the hell-deserving characters or characteristics of his people, taking that awful burden upon himself until he said, I am a worm. Because Christ, the Son of God, went to the depths of shame, he lifts worms from the depths of shame to the heights of glory. Now are we the sons of God. Our Father. What a testimony. That's the testimony of every Christian. That's the testimony that we raise as we come to God in prayer. And it opens up the whole matter of prayer. Because given this intimacy of relationship, will God then not hear us? Will he turn a deaf ear to us? Will he harden his heart against us? Can he cast us away from his presence? My friend, understand this. If we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, then God will no more. I'll go further. God can no more dismiss those children of his than he can dismiss his own dear son. It's a total impossibility. Our Father. Do you have this testimony today? Do you have this family name that matters above every other name? Are you redeemed by precious blood? Have you, by personal appropriating faith, taken Christ to be your Lord and Savior? If not, then why not? The only thing that would keep you back, remember, is the lust of the devil. That you will not have God on his terms, but insist that he will have you in your terms. That's the only thing that would keep you back from faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, come without delay and enter into the greatest blessing a man on earth or a man in heaven can have. And that is having God as his Father. And then set out in life with all of God's people, with the enjoyment of the reality that you have access to God, the open ear of God, the open heart of God, the open hand of God, because he is your Father.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.